Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night utters and reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God that we have read and heard this morning already. That some trust in chariots and some in the weapons of man, but we will put our trust in the name of the Lord our God. We thank you that you are stronger than our adversary, and you remind us to be aware, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We are reminded in the book of Hebrews of your faithfulness and indeed your power and who you are, your preeminence. And Father, from here in Psalm 19, we are reminded of the glory of God and the Word of God. Lord, we ask now that as we open the Word together, that you would be our teacher. Show us things that you know we need to hear and see, believe, and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Two psalms describe the beauty and the power of the Word of God. One we have just read, Psalm 19. The other one is Psalm 119. Psalm 119 has 176 verses that almost all focus on the Word of God. From verse 1 to verse 176, there are only four verses that do not refer to the Word of God. When Paul contacted me this week, he wanted to know, do you have a title for your message? And I was actually working on that, and so it motivated me to hurry and get a title. I had some ideas, but I wasn't sure. But the more that I looked at it, and I wrote him and I said, my message title for Sunday is A Clear Revelation. A Clear Revelation. I opened my commentary, the Expositor's Bible Commentary, dealing with Psalm 19, and I was encouraged. It's like, well, I'm on the right track. Here's what Expositor's Bible Commentary noted: God's clear revelation in nature. All right, I'm on the right track. God has given us in nature the evidence that He exists. Those who would say there's not enough evidence to show that there is a God. There was a Russian scientist who, amazingly enough, was moved in his heart to begin seeking God simply by looking at a leaf. When was the last time you took great notice of a leaf and let that motivate you to seek God? But this Russian scientist looked at the leaf and its details and the veins and the beauty and the shape, and he said, I must know this Creator. The psalmist absolutely declares that creation shows there is a God. But is that enough? Will that lead us to Him as Savior? No. We see His power. We see His power. We see the reality of His existence, but not that He loves. Expositors goes on and said, but God has given a clearer revelation in His Word. And that's in verses 7 through verse 11. The psalmist underscores God's revelation of Himself in the Word of God. Now we begin to see in God's Word the reality of my sin. I read in the Word of God and I see the reality of His love. Creation doesn't show me of His love, but His Word does. My wife was 5 years of age when she came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Her mom led her to Christ at the breakfast table. And she was moved to trust the Lord Jesus based on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. That moved her heart at the age of 5 to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. D.L. Moody was over in England, and the man that he had filling the pulpit for him in Moody Church was preaching a message that was different than D.L. D.L. emphasized the judgment and the wrath of God. His wife said to him in a telegram, but he preaches differently than you. And he spent his time in John 3:16 and basked in the love of God. The love of God begins to reveal more of what we need to know. His love, His grace, His justice, His judgment. It begins to reveal the truth for us of what we need to know about God. Finally, Expositor says this, the clearest revelation of God comes in Jesus Christ. And so that really encouraged me, folks. I'm on the right track when I said it's a clear revelation, because that's exactly what this chapter said in Expositor's Bible commentary. We have a clear revelation in creation. We have a clearer revelation in the Word of God. But the clearest revelation of who God is came in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Psalm 19 divides into two sections. This revelation that God has given us, we have, first of all, the psalmist describing God's revelation through His works. God has revealed Himself through His works. Notice it with a bold, clear statement in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. On my phone, I have an app. My brother-in-law had it. I thought it was pretty neat, and it was very inexpensive, so I bought it and put it on my phone, called SkyView. And through SkyView, when you can hold it up to the heavens, you can begin to see the constellations that are there and the planets that are there, the International Space Station that's there, satellites that are there. You get to see it all. SkyView. But dear ones, those heavens are declaring God is. God exists. And I want you to underscore a word that David uses in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Handiwork! I mean, wouldn't you think that making planets, universe, is more than just like handicraft? Oh, dear ones, when does God lay bare His hand of power? When does God lay bare His strength? Thank you for asking. It is when He saves a soul. That is when God lays bare His power. We are in spring. Today is the first day of spring. How many of you noticed some of your plants starting to come up? Flowers starting to come up. Ours are. Some of our hostas, they're nubs, but they're coming. Dear ones, those plants break through that ground. Nothing seems so resistant, so permanent as them leaving and going away in the coldness of winter. But in the spring, they make their way. They break the ground. They come up in the power. Oh, dear ones, that's nice, and that's handiwork. That's handiwork. But God lays bare His power in the salvation of a soul. When He brings one who has been dead in trespasses and sins and makes them new in Jesus Christ, that is when God lays bare His glorious power and manifests it. Changed lives. Changed lives. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. His handiwork. So let's look at the creation. Oh, God's works. First, He says the heavens. The heavens are outer space. I would love to see this. I've never seen it. I've heard it. But Dr. John Phillips, in his commentary, points out, Do you realize, folks, that in the constellations of the heavens, God has given the gospel? For example, all right, don't get into astrology. Astrology is not so good. Astronomy, yes. Astrology, no. But in the heavens, God has given a witness of himself. For example, Virgo, the virgin, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, all the way to Leo, the lion. So you have the virgin who gave birth to the lion, and you have Orion, the warrior. I mean, it's a powerful witness and testimony that God has given of the truth of his existence. The atheist scholar and philosopher Bertrand Russell said, "If there is a God and I have to stand before him, I will say to him, 'You didn't give me enough evidence.'" According to God's word, there's more than enough evidence. There are two witnesses that God has given in Psalm 19 that the psalmist notes. One is creation, nature. Nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, that which I can see. The earthly heavens, the sky, shows his handiwork. Handiwork. But there is a third witness. Not only creation, not only his word. Join me in John chapter 1, would you please? The Gospel of John chapter 1, and then in Romans chapter 1. God has given a third witness. I was talking with a fellow student in college one day, and he told me that I don't know if there is a God or not. I tend to believe there is, but he said, I think it's because of my upbringing. Well, there's a possibility of that. But there's a more basic answer to that question. Why do I believe that there is a God? John chapter 1 shows us the answer to that question. John writes concerning Jesus Christ in verse 9 these words. In John chapter 1 and verse 9. There it is. Verse 8, he was not that light, John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which gives light. Now notice the next phrase, please, dear ones. To every man who comes into the world. I had a friend of mine who once told me he was an atheist. And I've heard that every atheist can tell you almost to the day they became an atheist. So I said, this will be fun. I'm going to test that. So my friend Norm told me he was an atheist. And I said, Norm, we were walking one day, and I said, Norm, you're an atheist, right? And he said, yeah, I am. I said, Norm, would you mind telling me when you became an atheist? He said, oh, tell me, that was so long ago. And I said, that's okay. I would really be very interested. When did you become and how did you become an atheist? He said, I was 12. I saw the hypocrisy. I didn't want to go through the regimen and the routine of my bar mitzvah. I was done with it. And at the age of 12, I became an atheist. And I've talked to other atheists who can tell me almost exactly to the day. For Norma was a year, 12 years of age. For Ted Turner, Turner Broadcasting, it was when his brother died. He had prayed and asked God, please spare my brother and let him live. His brother was ill. His brother died. And Turner, at that moment, became an atheist. There is no God. Yet the Word of God says that by saying that, they're fighting against the revelation that God has put in every single person. Dear ones, that's over 7 billion, close to 8 billion people today. God has placed in every single one of them the identification that He exists. He has stamped on their heart His trademark, His registered trademark that He is God. And they belong to Him. And they will give account to Him one day. And they will either live with Him in eternity or be separated from Him in eternity. And the question is, what will you do with Jesus Christ? And it will be that answer that will determine that eternal destiny. And so for every atheist, they are kicking against, in the words of the Lord Jesus to the Apostle Paul, they're kicking against the goads. There is the reminder in their heart, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God, there is a God. And they are resisting that truth. As C.S. Lewis said, he came kicking and screaming into the kingdom of God because he didn't want to give up the control of his life. John writes that there is a third revelation that God has given, not only in creation, not only in His Word, but God has put that knowledge of Himself in the heart of every man. Join me in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Many people like to ask the question, are the heathen really lost? Do they really need to be saved? And the answer to that question is yes. They are lost and they do need to be saved. But what if nobody tells them? Thank you for asking. Paul has a glorious answer to that. And so does the psalmist in Psalm 19. That witness of creation is enough to draw a person's heart to begin seeking the true and living God. Romans chapter 1, look at me at verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What truth do they suppress? Paul, verse 19, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. That's John 1, 9. God has lighted every man. God has put the reality. He has stamped that trademark. Made by the living God. Made by the living God. In the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl, when you're born. Actually, when you're conceived. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. So Mr. Russell is absolutely wrong. There's more than enough evidence concerning the living God. He has rejected the evidence. He has rejected and resisted the Creator. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. There are three revelations that God has given of the proof of his existence: creation, his word, and the internal witness of his reality in the heart of every single man, woman, boy, and girl. In the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes, he has put eternity in their hearts. That's a powerful revelation, folks. Powerful revelation. Go back to Psalm 19 with me now. Psalm 19 continues. The revelation of creation speaks daily. Day unto day utters speech. Night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Do you realize, folks, that in Antarctica, a hole was driven nearly a half a mile deep through the ice down into this body of water? I think it was the ocean. Scientists did not expect to find living creatures in the depths of the Antarctic Ocean. But they did. Half a mile deep, over 2,000 feet, they dug down. And as they looked down there, those scientists were stunned. They found life nearly a half mile under the ice. God put that there. One of my favorite, I would love to see. I love to see the northern lights when they come out. I love those. First time I saw them, I thought Jesus was coming again. First time, it's like, whoa. Really did. But dear ones, you talk about the glory of God, and you talk about the beauty of God and the firmament showing his handiwork. It's in the northern lights. When you go up and you see those lights dancing above the Arctic Circle, there is a God. Day to day utters knowledge. Night into night their speech is going on. There is nowhere in the world, not even in Antarctica, half a mile in the depths of the sea, God is there. God is there. In the heavens, God's there. Dare I say it? I will. God is in the holding of that baby. I was in Colorado, and the family that I was staying with, the wife and mom said, I need to go into town because one of our friends just had a baby today. I want to go in and see the baby. Oh, dear ones. See the beauty, the innocence in the eyes of that child. And you're seeing the handiwork of God. The creation, the creator. Creation speaks of a creator. And in the words of that Russian scientist, would that more people did what he did. I've got to know the creator of this leaf. How about I need to know the creator of this one? This baby who will live for eternity. That's our God. That's our God. Father, creator, judge, master, priest, pastor. That is our God. The psalmist compares the creation. He says, in them, he goes on in verse 5, in them he has set a tabernacle. Verse 4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world, even in Antarctica, half a mile deep in the sea. In them he has set a tabernacle for the Son, who is like a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. I was on my way here this morning, and that big ball of fire was hitting me right in the eyes. And it was like, I need to find some help. Because that thing was blinding me. I couldn't even see. And it's like, if I move over one lane, there's a tree there, and I can use the tree as my shade. And it helped. It eased my distress. But oh, the sun, my dear friend, is a witness. And David looked at the sun and said of the sun that it reminded him of a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Bridegroom coming out of his chamber, the authority, the beauty. And it was like a runner, a champion running his race. David looked at the fact that every single morning the sun came up, went around its circuit, went down. There was a consistency to creation. There was a stability in creation. There was order in creation. And David was amazed at that. And it spoke of his God. God has revealed himself, David said, in his creation, verses 1 through 6. Then David turned to the word of God in verses 7 through 11. And in verses 7 through 11, David gives us six descriptions of the Word of God. He gives us a description, then he gives us a summary of that description, and finally he gives us the result of that description. So let's look at the description of how David looks at the Word of God. Psalm 119 has similar depictions of God's Word. The first description is found in verse 7, law. The second, verse 7, testimony. Verse 8, statute. Verse 8, commandment. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And the final description of the Word of God is judgment. So we have law, testimony, statute, commandment, fear, and judgment. And of these, each one has a summary. The law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. I was in a synagogue on a Saturday one morning. I had had the privilege of meeting the rabbi. He had graciously invited myself and our worker from Buenos Aires, Argentina, to come and visit with him. I had asked for that permission in that meeting because the rabbi was from Chile and our worker was in Buenos Aires. And you may have heard this way back in the 90s, courtesy of the nation of Iran, a major explosion took place in the Buenos Aires Jewish community, and the Jewish community center was bombed. My friend Alfredo is our physician. He and his family serve the Jewish community of Buenos Aires and our medical free clinic. I didn't do that, just so you know. He's the physician at our medical free clinic. So I called the rabbi and I said, I have my friend Alfredo. Rabbi, and he was one of the first at the Jewish Community Center bombing in Buenos Aires. Would you like to meet him? Come to my office at 2 o'clock. We went down and we went to his office, sat down, and we began to talk. And the rabbi said, Tim, we're not talking about you, but he said, it has been so long since I've spoken my native Spanish. I want to talk to Alfredo, and we will communicate in Spanish. This is what we're going to talk about. And they began to speak back and forth in Espanol. And then he said, here's what I want to talk about next. And they began conversing, continued conversing in Spanish. It was that rabbi that I went and visited on this particular Saturday morning. I walked into the service, sat in the back like a good Baptist, sat in the back. And when I sat down, the rabbi saw me and he acknowledged me. He nodded and said, in a greeting. During the welcoming time, he came back and shook my hand. When he stood up to speak, he said, we have a special guest here today. And he identified me to everybody in that synagogue. So we have a guest, Tim Munger. He came with his friend from Buenos Aires. I said all of that to say this. When I walked in and I sat down, I was invited, would you like to go and pull out the Torah scrolls? That's a very great honor for a Jewish person. And I said to the usher, I said, sir, thank you for inviting me to do that. But I said, I'm not Jewish. Sorry. I said, no problem. It's a great honor. You didn't know. The Torah, the five books of Moses, the Torah is law. It is the revealed knowledge, truth, and requirements that God has given. Torah has a narrow and a broad meaning. Narrowly, it's the five books of Moses. Broadly, it refers to the whole of God's revelation in the Old Testament as a whole. The law of the Lord is perfect. You can mark in the margin of your Bible right there or in your notes, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 for this whole section. Now, not only is there law and it's perfect, let's look at the result. It converts the soul. It brings life change. Testimony. There is the description. Summary. It is sure. It is sure. What's the result of this? It is sure. It makes wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord. What's its summary? It's right. The statutes are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Everything that we need for personal life and growth and maturity is found in the Word of God. Look at me at verses 10 and 11. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, the much fine gold. Here is a summary of all of these attributes. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Food and wealth. May I ask you a question? Can I bring it down to today? Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, close to $100 billion. Jeff Bezos, Amazon became the first trillion-dollar company. Elon Musk, Tesla, multiple billions. Let me ask you a question, point blank. Which would you rather have? Multiple billions or the Word of God? Before you answer that, can I remind you of something? Solomon said this about riches in Proverbs, which is awesome. When riches increase, set not your heart upon them. For riches make themselves wings. My money talks. It says goodbye. For riches make themselves wings. Like an eagle, they fly away toward heaven. I was at my sister's condo in Tawas. And it was a Sunday morning, and I got up, and I saw this bird fly in. Huge wings, dark body, and whoa. I said, you watch, it'll be a vulture. Nope, it was not. It was a bald eagle. Came flying in, cruising in, sat on the deck. It is that that God compares riches to. Like an eagle, they fly away toward heaven. I have a wonderful treasure. The gift of God without measure. And so we travel together, my Bible and I. So we have had God's revelation of himself in his works, verses 1 through 6, verses 7 through 11, God's revelation of himself in his word. Now you have David's reflection in verses 12 to 14. One is confession and the other is commitment. David confesses to God. He says, keep back your servant also, verse 13. Look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? First of all, folks, this is not saying that God has errors, okay? Let's start here. Does God make a mistake? God's never made a mistake. If God could make an error, the error is me thinking that he's made them. David looks at the perfections of the Word of God, and he looks at his own imperfection. He can't keep up with those. That's why you and I need to be saved. Everything that God has revealed in his word, we can't do on our own. We can't. Why? Because we have a bent within us called sin. And that hinders us from performing what God has given in his word. That's why we need to be saved. He needs to take up residence in us by his spirit. That's why we need to get saved. But David confesses his own weakness. Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. That's Romans chapter 6, by the way, verses 1 through 23. Let them not have dominion over me. Romans 6, 1 to 23. Then I shall be blameless and I'll be innocent of great transgression. Here is his confession. Here is his commitment. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. It's a very clear revelation, dear ones. Very clear revelation. God has shown us himself in creation, his works, in his word, and through his son. A clear revelation. That we may know him. The question is, do you know him? Do you know him?